Antano Ratsed Gangayam Bhishma Atmavan Sarvadharma Vidham Shrestho Mahabhagavata Kavihi. So, word by words. Somavam She. When the dynasty of the moon god, Kalau, in this age of Kali, Nashte, being lost, Krita Adau, at the beginning of the next Satya Yuga, Stapayashyate, will reestablish, Balikat, from Balika, Somadattaha, Somadatta. Abhut, generated. Burihi, Buri. Buri Shava, Buri Shava. Tataha, thereafter. Shalacha, a son named Shala. Santanaho, from Shantanu. Asit, generated. Gangayam, in the womb of Ganga, the wife of Shantanu. Bhishma, a son named Bhishma. Atmavan, self-realized. Sarvadharma vidham, of all religious persons. Shrestaha, best. Mahabhagataha, an exalted devotee. Kavegi, and a learned scholar. So translation, after the dynasty of the moon god comes to an end in this age of Kali, Devapi, in the beginning of the next Satya Yuga, will reestablish the Soma dynasty in this world. From Balika, the brother of Shantanu, came a son named Somadatta, who had three sons named Buri, Buri Shava, and Shala. From Shantanu, through the womb of his wife named Ganga, came Bhishma, the exalted, self-realized devotee and learned scholar. You can repeat, after the dynasty of the moon god comes to an end. In this age of Kali, Devapi, in the beginning of the next Satya Yuga, will reestablish the Soma dynasty in this world. From Balika, the brother of Shantanu, came a son named Somadatta, who had three sons, namely Buri, Burishrava, and Shala. From Shantanu, through the womb of his wife named Ganga, came Bhishma the exalted, self-realized devotee and learned scholar. So there's no purport to this text. Let me read the next text. Of course, this is the Mahabharata story. Text 20. Virayuta grantir hin yen na ramo piyuditoshita shantanor dasa kanyayam Nechi Changata Sutaha. Bhishma Deva was the foremost of all warriors. When he defeated Lord Parashuram in a fight, Lord Parashuram was very satisfied with him. By the semen of Shantanu in the womb of Satyavati, the daughter of a fisherman, Chitrangada, took birth. So purport, by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Satyavati was actually the daughter of Uparichara Vasu by the womb of a fisherwoman known as Matsya Garbha. That means the fish womb. Later, Satyavati was raised by a fisherman. The fight between Parashuram and Bhishma Deva concerns three daughters of Kashiraj, Ambika, Ambalika, and Amba, who were forcibly abducted by Bhishma Deva, acting on behalf of his brother, Vichitravirya. Amba thought that Bhishma Deva would marry her and became attached to him. But Bhishma Deva refused to marry her, for he had taken the vow of brahmacharya. Amba therefore approached Bhishma Deva's military spiritual master, Parashuram, who instructed Bhishma to marry her. Bhishma Deva refused, and therefore Parashuram fought with him to force him to accept the marriage. But Parashuram was defeated, and he was pleased with Bhishma. So, very interesting Mahabharata story. So, Om Magana Timadandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, where do we start? We start with the story of... Actually, we can start with the story of Ganga Devi and Shantanu. So, Shantanu and Ganga Devi were in the heavenly planets a long time before this. And what happened is Shantanu was a king named Mahabish who had gone to the heavenly planets, as kings sometimes go when they fight very nicely in battlefields. And Mahabish was sitting there in the assembly of Lord Brahma, and there was a dancing performance, and Ganga Devi was there in the audience too. She wasn't one of the dancers. And what happened is that there was some wind and it sort of blew up Ganga Devi's dress, or sari, whatever she was wearing, and, you know, revealed lower portion of her body, the legs at least. And most of the demigods, actually all the demigods, being very respectful, you know, looked the other way. But Shantanu, who was Mahabish at that particular point, he stared. And Lord Brahma got very angry, and he cursed him, you should take birth on this earth planet. And Ganga Devi was sort of like pleased with the attention she was getting. And so it was decided that Ganga Devi would go down and she would get married to Shantanu on the earth planet. And at the same time, you had the... Vasus, the heavenly Vasus, there were eight of them, who had offended Vasishtha Muni by stealing his desire cow, and they got cursed to go down to the earth planet too. And it was arranged by Vasishtha Muni, who felt a little compassionate toward them, that only one of the Vasus, his name was Jal, the oldest one, who was primarily responsible for stealing the desire cow, Vasishtha Muni, he would be the one who would take the lifespan of all the others. The other ones would actually die upon being born. Okay, so that's the background. So therefore, Shantanu was on the earth planet, walks by the Ganges, see this beautiful girl, Ganga Devi, falls in love with her, prenuptial agreement. Prenuptial agreement is that he would never disagree with anything she does, never argue with her, and they get married, Gandharva, right, you know, they exchange garlands, and she proceeds to kill every one of the children that's born from their union by throwing them into the Ganges River. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And when it gets to the eighth one, he just can't stand it anymore. He tells her, stop. She says, because you told me to stop, you disagreed with me, I'm out of here. Okay. So she also takes the kid. And that kid, of course, is Bhishma, who is one of the, as described in this verse, one of the great Mahajanas. In the previous verse, it's described Bhishma, the exalted, self-realized devotee and learned scholar. So she takes Bhishma with him. And Bhishma basically gets training while he's with her. And one of the types of training he gets is from his martial arts guru, whose name Parashuram, the warrior incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. So then he comes back, rejoins his father. So in the meantime, you know, shortly before that, you had the King Vasu, who's mentioned here, Upachara Vasu, who... excuse me, who is in love with his wife, and he's just waiting for the right time to basically have a relationship with his wife so that a child can be born. You know, so there's a certain time of the month for ladies, so he's just waiting for that particular period. However, what happens is he's called to the forest to do some battle to protect his kingdom at that particular time, and he's just like in the forest thinking of his wife, you know, oh my God, I wish I was with my wife. And because he's thinking of his wife at that particular time, wanting to have a child, a discharge of semen is there. And he's thinking, well, nothing should go in vain. So he gives this discharge of semen, he packs it up somehow or other, and gives it to a bird to carry back to his wife. So this bird is carrying the semen back to his wife. The bird is attacked by a hawk. The bird drops the semen. Semen goes into the mouth of a fish. Interesting story, isn't it? In the Mahabharata. Some of you may have heard this story before or not. Anyway, the semen goes into the mouth of a fish, and as a result, basically a little girl is formed, I guess, in the womb of a fish, whatever. Anyway, inside the fish. The fish is later on caught, actually, by this fisherman, who's called Matsuraj, you know, the king of the fishermen. He's not just an ordinary fisherman, he's actually the head of all the fishermen. So the fish is caught by the fisherman. The fisherman opens up the fish, time for dinner, discovers a little baby girl inside, adopts the little baby girl. The little baby girl smells really bad since she spent a lot of time in the fish. Yeah, she's a bad fishy smell. And that little girl grows up into a very beautiful girl. She's the daughter of a king and a fish. But anyway, she only has the genetic material of a king, so not of the fish, obviously. The fish just is the surrogate mother. Everybody understands that. And somehow or other, there was ability to create a child just from the semen without the ovum at that particular point. So, anyway. So she grows up, becomes very beautiful, and she's assigned the task of rowing people across the river. And as she's rowing people across the river, one of the persons she rows across the river is Parasharamuni. And as she's rowing Parasharamuni across the river, he becomes attached to her, thinking they should have a child. Of course, this is all Krishna's plan. He's a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of God. And she says, no, it's not proper. And he says, no, you'll remain a virgin even afterwards. And anyway, I'll create a whole fog here so nobody can see it. And so Vyasadeva is born on the island as a result of that. Later on, she continues rowing the boat across the river. And Shantanu comes across her, and he falls in love with her. And basically, of course, Bhishma is actually with Shantanu at this particular point. What happens at this particular point is that the fisherman says to Shantanu, you cannot marry my daughter, Satyavati, unless she can become, or her child can become, the next king. And so Shantanu has already promised to Bhishma that he can become the next king. So he goes back to his kingdom, has a great depression. I mean, there's no antidepressants at that particular time. Bhishma comes across his father. He wonders what's happening with his father. Finally, the prime minister tells Bhishma that this is your father's problem. Bhishma goes to Satyavati's father and says to Satyavati's father, I'm renouncing the kingdom. And Satyavati's father said, well, that's all right, but your child may give Satyavati's child a problem. And so, therefore, Bhishma renounces even having a wife. He renounces, takes a vow of Akanda Brahmachari, 100% Brahmachari. Okay. So then we're at this verse right here. So then Shantanu has two children by the womb of Satyavati. That's Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. And I think we're going to read later on in the next verse about what happened with Chitrangada. So we're not going to talk about that right now. So as far as Vichitravirya was concerned, Chitrangada had already died. He's the oldest son of Satyavati and Shantanu. And Vichitravirya, he was a little wimpy. Wimpy means, you know, he couldn't get his own wife. You know, because the Kshatriyas at that particular time, they had to go out and do this whole Swayamvara. Swayamvara actually means the lady picks her own, but she picks her own based upon observing the heroism of her prospective husband. Not that she just picks her own and she picks some wimp as a husband, because it's very important strategically, genetically, for the lady to marry someone who is heroic, so they'll have heroic children, so the heroic children can take over the kingdom. The reason for that is because when they had a fight, the king actually had to be at the forefront of the battlefield. And that way, people were reluctant to actually have wars. So it came time to get Vritchadvirya a wife, and Vritchadvirya couldn't do it himself. So Bhishma, or Grandfather Bhishma, I don't know if he was a grandfather at this point, but anyway, he was Bhishma. Bhishma decided to get the wife or wives for his half-brother. Remember, Vritchadvirya is the half-brother of Bhishma, because they both have the same father, but different mother. Bhishma's mother was Ganga Devi, and Satyavati was the mother of Vritchadvirya. Okay. The reason why it was so important for them to get married was so there would be, the dynasty would continue, so there would be a king. So Bhishma goes out and he goes to Kashi, the kingdom of Kashi, and right then there is a Swayamvara for the three daughters of the king of Kashi, Ambika, Ambalika, and Amba. It turns out that Amba, even though there's a Swayamvara, was previously in love with Shalva, or Shalva Raj, you know, the king of Shalva, whatever. And so nobody knew this. So Bhishma shows up at the Swayamvara, and basically the other kings that were there at the Swayamvara start laughing at Bhishma. Why are they laughing at Bhishma? Because he's taken the vow of Brahmacharya, and there he is competing for women. And so Bhishma doesn't take that very nicely, and he shows his martial arts at this particular point and says, I'm taking these three girls. And so while he's trying to take the three girls, Shalva starts to attack Bhishma because his wife is being taken away, his prospective wife or promised wife is being taken away. So Shalva attacks Bhishma, and Bhishma doesn't really have any trouble. He just sends Shalva into the bleachers. He basically just has to almost like just pull his bow, his arrow back in the bow, and practically do nothing else, because Bhishma has been trained by Parashuram, and he's a great personality coming down from the heavenly planets. So Shalva is completely burnt out by this particular encounter. So Bhishma takes the three girls, Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika, back to Hastinapur, and says to his brother, now I have some wives for you. But Amba reveals that she's actually in love with Shalva, and Bhishma says, well, we understand that, we can send you back to Shalva. So he sends her back to Shalva with his blessings, saying, now you can marry Shalva because we understand you were previously in love, it wasn't proper for me to take you, I apologize. And Shalva says, no way, lady, you were taken by Bhishma. And, you know, this is martial spirit that the kings are thinking, you know, I'm not going to take charity. Actually, kings are not supposed to take charity from anybody. And so, you know, here's this woman who he's in love with, and shows how fragile this love is. Anyway, he was previously in love, she was in love with him, and he says, I can't do it. You know, it's against the Kshatriya honor, the Kshatriya code. So you have to marry Bhishma. He was the one who kidnapped you. So she goes back and says to Bhishma, in a real angry mood, that's not really mentioned here. It says Amba thought that Bhishma would marry her and became attached to him. But her attachment to him was based upon vengeance. It wasn't based upon love or anything like that. And so Bhishma, as mentioned here in the purport, said, I'm not marrying her. I've taken a vow of brahmachari life. And also, you know, who's going to marry someone who hates your guts? you know, he gives these two reasons. And so Amba gets really upset, starts to perform all sorts of austerities, pleases Parashuram. Actually, there's a whole interaction. She has some uncle who's the friend of Parashuram, which is mentioned in the Mahabharata. So she goes to Parashuram and explains the whole thing. Parashuram says, Bhishma, you have to marry her. And Parashuram says, no, Guru Maharaj. Bhishma says, no, Guru Maharaj. That's what I said. Bhishma says, no, Guru Maharaj. And Guru Maharaj says, yes, Bhishma. And Guru Maharaj says, if you don't listen to my instructions, you're going to have to fight with me. And so there ensued a giant fight, and Bhishma was ready to like fire the final arrow, and then the demigods interfered with that and said, no, it's not proper. And Parashuram was actually defeated, although he wasn't hurt in the battle. And so, therefore, Parashuram had to allow Bhishma not to get married with this girl, Amba. So actually the words Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika mean Amba, little Amba, very little Amba. They're diminutives. You understand? So anyway, Bhishma, he's freed from getting married to Amba. But Amba is fried. I mean, she's really angry, and you know, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And so she begins to perform these hellish austerities in order to be powerful enough in her next life to kill Bhishma. So performing all these austerities, she gets this benediction. She's going to be born in the next life as the cause of the death of Bhishma. Bhishma is aware of this. He has spies at the whole time, so he knows exactly what's happening. So she leaves her body, and basically in the next life, she takes birth as the daughter of Drupada, as Shikhandi. However, I hope we have time to tell the whole story. It's very interesting. However, what happens with Shikhandi, Shikhandi is a girl, or Shikhandini, at this particular point. Her father, Drupada, is convinced that she's a boy. Why is he convinced? Because Lord Shiva tells Drupada, that this particular entity was born, even though all the characteristics of girl are there, it's a boy. So he has so much faith in Lord Shiva that he arranges Shikhandini's marriage with another boy. With a girl. Because he's convinced it's a boy in spite of all external manifestations. He's convinced it's a boy. Even though it looks like a girl, acts like a girl, walks like a girl, etc. So he arranges this marriage and with a girl who is a daughter or is a princess. That means her father is a king. And so after the marriage, she discovers that she's married to another girl. Real problem there. And so her father challenges Drupada and says, you know, you've committed a great offense, you've offended me, therefore I'm going to attack you. She gets very depressed, goes out to the woods, and ready to commit suicide, she's discovered by a yaksha named Stunavara. And the yaksha says to her, what's the problem? She explains the problem. The yaksha says, no problem. I'll exchange my masculinity for your femininity. So she becomes Shikhandi instead of Shikhandini. She goes back to her father. Father's really happy. Her father says to the other king that, look, my son is a son, you know, examine. They examine the son, they're happy. So Shikhandi or Shikhandini is very happy at this particular point. But the arrangement was that after the marriage took place and everything was pacified, that he or she, as the case may be, he would go back and exchange his masculinity back with the yaksha, so the yaksha can get back his masculinity. What happens in the meantime is the yaksha upsets the king of the yakshas, and he gets cursed, which is Kuvera. Kuvera is the king of the yakshas. He gets cursed to remain a woman as long as Shikhandi is alive. So Shikhandi remains as a man. Okay? Everybody got that story so far? So therefore, in the battle of Kurukshetra, even though Shikhandi was previously Shikhandini, he's allowed to enter into the battle. And he actually performs many heroic acts as described in the Mahabharata. Ultimately, the heroic act he performs is that he acts as the human shield for Arjuna when Arjuna is confronting Grandfather Bhishma. And so Grandfather Bhishma knows, because of all of his spies, which I mentioned previously, that this is actually previously Amba. So he has taken a vow not to kill anyone or not to attack anybody who is a woman or previously a woman. Because he actually sees, when he sees Shikhandi, he sees Amba. He doesn't actually see the male form. He actually sees through the whole guise. And so he puts down his bow and arrows, and Arjuna is able to keep firing his arrows, and eventually he puts Grandfather Bhishma on the bed of arrows. He doesn't actually kill Grandfather Bhishma, because Grandfather Bhishma, getting back to the story a little bit, when he took that vow of Akhanda Brahmacharya to please his father Shantanu, because Shantanu wanted to marry Satyavati, Grandfather Bhishma got the benediction from his father that he wouldn't die unless he wanted to. So he had that benediction of willful death. Whenever he wanted to die, that would happen. So Grandfather Bhishma decided not to die, in spite of being filled with all the arrows in the bed of arrows in the battle of Kurukshetra, because he wanted to make sure that he had also taken a vow not to leave his body until Yudhisthira was actually in charge of the whole kingdom. In other words, his vow was to protect the kingdom. So he wanted to ensure that happened. So he stayed alive through the whole battle of Kurukshetra until the end, when the sun started to move to the north. That means after December about 23rd. You understand? You know, the winter solstice, when the sun starts to move to the north again. So when the sun starts to move to the north, that means the winter is gradually getting over. Of course, it's actually the first day of winter. But anyway, it starts to move to the north. And so Grandfather Bhishma did that, and this is the story of Grandfather Bhishma. Parashuram, Amba, Shikhandi, and all that. And eventually Shikhandi was killed, and therefore the Yaksha got back his masculinity. And that's the end of this particular story. And the story of Shatangara is told in the next verse or two. So we're not going to tell that story today. So any questions or comments? We have 3 more minutes. I actually told a lot of the Mahabharata.
What about the Chittavirya and how Ambika and
Ambalika
had children.
Oh, Ambika and Ambalika. Oh, that's... Yeah, I forgot about that one. So Ambika and Ambalika. It's Vichitravirya. That's actually mentioned in the next verse, actually. Vichitravirya actually was so much enamored by them, and he was so weak by constitution anyway, that he died before he was able to give them children. So what happened is that Satyavati, of course, Shantanu had already died at this particular point. He was already gone. So Satyavati was very worried. She wanted to have some descendants so someone would take over the kingdom. So she went, first of all, to Bhishma and said, Bhishma, because you're the brother of Vichitravirya, you know, half-brother of Vichitravirya, you should give him children. And he said, no way. I'm not going to do that. And then she revealed that previously she had given birth to Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva told her, there's not much time to tell this story. Anyway, we'll continue tomorrow. But Vyasadeva told her whenever she wanted him, all she had to do was remember him. And he would show up. So she remembers him, he shows up, but he looks really, by material standards, really bad because he's been performing austerities, you know, hair is matted, all sorts of like tree sap in his hair all over the place, you know. It's not, you know, it doesn't have nice pigtails or whatever you call that anyway. So it looks really bad, really thin, he's emaciated, and she says, We'll wait till tomorrow. For the rest of the story.
Tune in tomorrow
for the rest of the story. But this is story of the Mahabharata story. Okay, all glories, there's Vine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.